Morning. Today's Daf Makos is Daf Dalid. We are starting today in the very beginning of the Amud. At the end of yesterday's Amud, we start off with some halachas that have nothing to do with Edom Zomim. The third Daf in the Masechta. The first two Dafim dealt with the Edom Zomim. The first Daf dealt exclusively with the idea of Edom Zomim. And notably, the first half of the Masechta had to do with the four cases that we do not apply the exact rule of Vasisim Lokasha Zamam Lasos Lachiv, even though we have a halach in the Torah, where when I have witnesses conspiring against the defendant, so and they are lying and they are caught lying, so we do to them what they conspired to do to the thieves, and generally speaking, they are given the exact punishment that was due to the defendant. But there are four times when they're not going to be given the exact punishment for various reasons. Most of them have to do with drushas in the Torah. But rather, what we do to them is we give them malchus. That was Daf Beis. Daf Gimel, we continue that course of discussion. We introduce ourselves to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva feels that Edom Zomim is a knas. It's not mamonos. It's a punitive penalty that's given to them. That Shita of Rabbi Akiva is going to come up again in today's Daf. So keep that in mind. And then yesterday we went through some cases where Edom Zomim are looking to cause a loss for somebody, but it's not the loss is not clear cut. It's not. It needs a little bit of a factoring in terms of figuring out what the financial loss is. They were trying to cause a loss of a ksuva to a husband. They were trying to cause a loss of a borrower being able to hold on to a loan for 10 years. So they were trying to cause that kind of loss. So we had yesterday we put on our accountant hat and we try to figure out exactly how to assess such a loss. Now you already have your hat on. So okay. You have an advantage. So today we are now starting off topic. And the reason why we're off topic is because yesterday we quoted a halacha in the name of Yehuda Merav. And so the Gemara now today is going to continue the discussion. Not continue, but continue quoting Rav Yehuda Merav, even though these halachas have nothing to do with Edom Zomim. So we are in the bottom of the Amud on Gimel Amud Beis. And we're starting with the words, Amar Yehuda Merav, it's five lines from the bottom of the Amud, it's right in the beginning of the line. And the last thing we pointed out yesterday, just one more summary point from yesterday, is we talked about loans and the default term of any given loan, meaning that if I lend money to somebody and we do not stipulate how long the loan is going to be, the duration of the loan, so then what is the default setting? So the default setting is going to be 1 month. And the Gemara entertained the idea that that should only apply to written loans, not oral loans, but the Gemara concluded that hain. In other words, it applies to both written and to oral loans. Okay, let's go. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Pesach Beisavar B'Shabbos. Now again, it's nothing to do with Edom Zomim, but it comes up over here as it is a statement by Rav Yehuda Merav. And if you open up the neck of a shirt on Shabbos, Yechayv Chatos, Yechayv Karmen Chatos. The 39 Malachas on Shabbos. So one of them is Tikkun Kli. Is when you put the finishing touch on an item. And we're talking over here about basically it's kind of like a poncho with no hole for the neck in the middle. Now, the way I'm presenting the Gemara right now is like Rashi, and I'm only presenting it like Rashi, so which is generally speaking how it works, how I do it. Take a look at Rashi inside of Pesach Beis. It's Avashasa Bo, Avashasa Peh Lechaluk Chadash. So you're basically making, it's kind of like a poncho, it's more like a sheet. And what you're doing is you're inserting a hole in the middle so that you can put your neck in. So Chayiv, the next Rashi, Shetikin Kli. Rashi says this is Tikkun Kli, it's Tikkun Mana. Hi, Denakala Hachemishim Dam Rav Yehuda La'el, Amavis Chaver. Okay, and then Rashi tells you what I already told you. Of course, I got it from Rashi, that all these halachas are coming in because it's Amar Rav Yehuda Merav. Okay, so here we are now, a halacha having to do with Shabbos, that if I make the hole for my neck to go through in a brand new sheet, so that's the Tikkun Kli, that's the finishing touch. It's what we also call makav patish, and therefore you're going to be chayav karban chatos if you do so on Shabbos. Chayav karban chatos, obviously, in the case where you did so b'shogeg. So maskav Rav Kahana v'chim ma bein zel megufas chavis. So Rav Kahana says, I don't understand. How is this any different than opening up a barrel? Meaning the assumption going into the question is that you're allowed to open up a barrel on Shabbos. A barrel has some sort of seal on top of it. And we learned this back in the end of Masechet Shabbos, that what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to chop off the head of this barrel in order to open it up. So you're opening up a barrel. Isn't that the same as opening up the neck of a shirt? So the Gemara gives a very concise answer, and that is the Gemara here talks about connection. How does that work over here? So again, I'm just presenting the Gemara like Rashi. Chibur, Rashi writes, Hilkach Pesach Tikkun Chadashu Zeh. In other words, when it comes to the short, so it was connected, meaning it was one organic piece of material. And then what I do is I open it up, that's makeh b'patish, that's the final touch. Avab megufa, Afapishi Tocha al Piachav is betit in the chibur. Vahavale kipsucha vaomeres. However, the magufa, the lid was not on organically as one piece prior to that. The lid was placed on top, the seal was placed on top, and so therefore what you're doing is you're just simply separating something that together, that wasn't built together as one organic piece to begin with. That's Rashi's viewpoint of the Gemara over here. This little piece of Gemara over here has a lot of halachic ramifications in terms of opening up packages on Shabbos. Right, okay. Right, I'm not... Okay, fine. Again. So what you're going to do now is if you want to take a deeper dive into the Gemara and see the halacha in terms of opening up packages on Shabbos, but this is the starting point. I mean, this Gemara over here starts the discussion rolling. We're going to move on. Our goal is to go through the daf. I'm Rav Yudah Merav. Shoshes Luga Maim Shanafel Asoch and Kortov Shal Yayin. What? Yeah.
Can you do beer when it's Sula Shabbat?
That's the Gemara and Ksuvas in the beginning. Okay, Davav. Okay, anyway. So I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. Shoshes Lugimayim Shanafel Asochan Kortov Shal Yayin Omarin Kamar Yayin. Okay, we are now moving topics and discussions again. The same link that is stitching together all these Gemaras is Amrav Yehuda Amarav. We are now going to a mikvah. Let's get the ground rules down for a mikvah. Pun intended. Ground rules for a mikvah. Thank you. Ground rules for a mikvah is that a mikvah has to have 40 sa of water. In order for it to be kashim water, it has to be naturally accumulated. I mean, the word mikvah means an accumulation. So that means is that you have to have a hole in the ground, and it doesn't have to be in the ground, it could be above ground. But in other words, it's got to be a hole, and it's got to naturally collect the rainwater. And if that happens, so then you have a kashim mikvah. You have to have 40 sa. Now, once you have 40 sa of water, so that's it. Now you have a kashim mikvah. You can add whatever you want into the mikvah, and it doesn't matter, meaning that the mikvah is still going to be a kashim mikvah. If the mikvah is not 40 saw of water, and what I do is I add gimel, lugim, mayim, she'uvim. If I add 3 lugim of drawn water, meaning water that went into a kli, and then poured into the mikvah, so that'll pass on the mikvah, that will disqualify the mikvah. Rashi over here writes that the psul is the psul de rabbanan, not the psul de raisa. If you think about the amounts, gimel, lugim is relatively small compared to the 40 saw of water. So I didn't crunch the numbers. I don't know exactly what the percentage is between 3 lugim versus 40 sa, but it is a really, really small percentage. But nevertheless, if the mikvah is absent 40 sa, if it's just short of 40 sa, and the 3 lugim of mayim she'uvim or anything more than that is placed in order to get it to the point of 40 sa, so then you have a pasul mikvah. The mikvah is not going to provide a tahara. On the other hand, if the mikvah has 40 sa, and then I threw in 3 lugin of mayim she'uvim into such a mikvah would be fine, and it will be unaffected by the mayim she'uvim. As far as mayim she'uvim being a psul, being a disqualification of the mikvah, as I already pointed out, that is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa, and it's specific to mayim, it has to be water. In other words, any other liquid that goes into a mikvah is not going to pass on the mikvah, because of mayim she'uvim. The psul mayim she'uvim is specific to mayim and no other liquid. That's the information that we need to know going into these Gemaras. And the Gemara starts off. So let's say I have 3 lugim of mayim. Mayim over here, mayim she'uvim. It's drawn water, meaning water that went into a kli. And what I do is I put like a little bit of wine, kortov shal yayin, just like a pinch of wine. And what that wine does now is that it doesn't turn it into diluted wine, although in just a moment we're going to call it that. But really what it does is it's just enough wine to give the water discoloration so that it looks like wine. It now has the appearance of wine. So, umareim kamari yayin, and that's exactly what the Gemara says, it looks like wine, v'nafala mikvah, and now, such a constitution of mostly mayim she'uvim with a little bit of wine, so now it looks like wine, falls into a mikvah. This mikvah does not have the requisite 40 sa of water, it's just under 40 sa of water. What are we looking at right now? Lo pasluhu. So, the Gemara says, quoting in the name of Rabbi Yudah Merav, that the mikvah is not a pasul mikvah. Why isn't it a pasul mikvah? Mayim she'uvim just was supplemented to make it now 40 sa. The reason must be, is, and Rashi points this out, and this is a pshat in the Gemara, the reason must be is that because it's no longer water that fell into the mikvah. By virtue of the fact that it was discolored by the wine, is now, we are now going to call that wine. In other areas of halacha, will we necessarily call that wine? I don't know. I don't think so. But in other words, but as far as Mayim She'uvim is concerned, because of its discoloration, so therefore we're now going to be calling it wine. Wine does not passel mikvah, only water passels a mikvah, and that's why such a mikvah is not going to be passel.
Does it matter what the ratio of Mayim She'uvim to a wine was, like in terms of bitul or not?
The coloration.
Coloration is a key factor in this discussion.
The white wine wouldn't work.
Right. Well, the Gemara is going to, it's funny, the Gemara could have made that contrast. Right. The Gemara is going to talk about milk. So which is going to be effectively the same point. Right. Why the Gemara doesn't talk about white wine, I can theorize that maybe they didn't have white wine back then. But that's a theory, and I don't know if that's right, and let's move on. So Maskev la Rav Kahana, v'chima bein zeh l'meitzeva. Now, Rav Kahana is listening to this sheet of Rav, and Rav Kahana says, but wait one second. My meitzeva, discolored water, did not. He quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah is from Mikvos. Rabbi Yossi Omer Meitzeva Posim as a mikvah b'shosha zugim. And Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Mikvos says that if I have three lugin of Maim Shuvim, even though it happens to be Meitzeva, it's discolored water, it's still water, and it's going to be pasul. So discolored water will pasul the mikvah. And you're telling me that if you have a lakurt of shoyan that falls into gimel lugim of Maim Shuvim, so then that will not. I'm sorry, that that will not passel the mikvah because it's not considered water, it's considered wine, even though it's not wine. So, but it's really, isn't it the same as discolored water? So Amalei Rava, Ha'asamayim Ditzavi Mikrei, Ha'ka Chamra Meziga Mikrei. So Rava says, yeah, it's all in the name. Meaning that when you have discolored water, it's discolored water. I mean, like we say in English, it's discolored water, but it's fundamentally water. And therefore, it's Mayim Shuvim that shall passel the mikvah. On the other hand, if it is wine, even though it's quartz of shoyayin, it's really not enough to call it wine, but nevertheless it's wine, therefore we call it wine, therefore it's not considered mayim she'uvim vis-a-vis the halacha of passing a mikvah. Now,
in this case also was a mikvah that didn't have.
You have to say that.
Then why once did that, love so that the wine didn't passel it? Did it fix it?
Right. Right. Very good. Very good question. We'll come back to that. Okay. Huh? Again, we're staying right now with mikvahs. Okay, you can ask me. I don't know the answer. We're staying right now with mikvahs. Okay, because that's the topic of this discussion. Vatani Rabbi Chia, Horidu is a mikvah. Now, Rabbi Chia has a brice, and Rabbi Chia says the mikvah gets downgraded. Now, a downgrading of a mikvah, in other words, it's binary. It's either good or no good. So downgraded meaning no good. Meaning it was a kosher mikvah, but it's no longer a kosher mikvah. And Rabbi Chia is describing the water that got a couple of drops of wine in it. Meaning that according to Rabbi Chia, what is that? It's mortar. It's Mayim She'uvim. Okay, so it's discolored. Okay, so it looks like wine right now. But it's water. So according to Rabbi Chia, even though that water got discolored, and even though it looks like wine, Rabbi Chia is telling us, Haridu is a mikvah. The mikvah gets downgraded. And downgrading of a mikvah means it's no good. It's pasul. So Haridu is a mikvah. Amar Rava lo kasha. HaRabbi Yochanan Menuri HaRabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rava says, I'm not bothered by that because I know it's a machlokes tanaim. Whether or not appearance is going to be a determining factor when it comes to the psul maim she'uvim, that is going to be a subject of machlokes tanaim between Rav Yochanan Menuri and the Chachamim. And what Rava tells us is, Rav is fine. Because Rav is going to be holding like Rav Yochanan Menuri. Now, albeit, Rav is going to be holding like a Shitas Yachid, but okay. In other words, it's a machlokes tanaim, and yes, Rabbi Chia disagrees, but it's also machlokes tanaim. Did not, and the Gemara now is going to introduce us to this Braisa. The Braisa, starting on the very bottom of Gimel and Beis, continues to the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. Did not, Ditan Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Shoshes Lugim Mayim. So you have three lugim of water, chaser kurtov, and it's missing just a little bit of, Shenafla Sorchov kurtov yayin. And so now, the little bit of wine comes in order to supplement. Now over here, be very specific about what the case is over here. In other words, it's not shoshes lugim mayim, meaning you don't have an entirety of three lugim of mayim she'uvim. Rather, you have a little bit less than gimel lugim of mayim she'uvim. In order to get to gimel lugim, it's now being supplemented with wine, quart of yain, just a little bit of wine, umarem kamar yain. So now it looks like wine. And so now, v'nafla mikvah lo pasul, it doesn't pasul the mikvah. There are two factors over here, which is why the mikvah is not pasul. One is that three lugim of mayim shuvim in total did not fall into the mikvah. Meaning it was three lugim minus a kurtov. And now it's true that we got to the full Gimel Lugin, but that's only by adding a kortav of wine. So over here, the composition is one kortav of wine plus just under three lugin of Mayim She'uvim mixed together, falling into a mikvah that was short of 40 saw. Okay, hopefully I'm trying to be as clear as possible. So and it looks like wine. So now we have this double factor over here. The mikvah does not become pasul. Now the implication seems to be very clear, is that if we just changed one factor, which is, let's say we had three full lugin of Mayim She'uvim, even though I added the quart of yain, even though the yain discolored the Mayim She'uvim, it's now still considered water, and it's gone to pasul the mikvah. That's what the implication is of the opinion of the Tanakhama. And let's now work with the exact same scenario, but we're just going to swap out wine with milk. So we'll take out the wine, we'll insert milk, and it falls into the mikvah, lo pasluhu. So it does not disqualify. And
would it help to make it
46? Right. Ben asked me that question. Presumably the answer is yes. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Alkohol Lechachar Mara. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says everything follows Mara, meaning the appearance is the key factor involved over here. Now, what does that mean, that appearance is the key factor? So Rashi says in both directions, meaning let's take the wine case, let's take the milk case. Let's start with the wine case. I have Gimel Mayim She'uvim. I have Gimel Lugin Mayim She'uvim. And then what do I do is I throw in a little bit of wine. Okay, now what do I have? According to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri of the Braisa, I have wine. Meaning, once it becomes discolored, once it looks like wine, now it's wine. And that means I throw it into the mikvah, and the mikvah is fine. The mikvah is not possible.
Because of Bahrain, that they're considered, that since it doesn't look like water, you don't assume that water is going to be okay with it.
I could guess. I don't know. And I know how to say over the halachas, but in terms of why, I don't know. So according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, so it's going to, there the Mara is going to help you. But let's now go to a case of the milk. In that case over there, it's actually going to hurt you. Why? Because everything follows the Mara. Everything follows the appearance. I throw a little bit of milk into water, it doesn't discolor the water. Okay, it'll make it a little bit cloudy, but it's not going to discolor the water. It's not going to turn into a new color. And so therefore, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, it's going to hurt you. Because now what do I have? I have Gimel Lugim of Mayim She'uvim. And meaning that even in a scenario where it was just under Gimel Lugim Mayim She'uvim, and I added a couple drops of milk in order to bring it to Gimel Lugim Mayim She'uvim, you know what I have? I have Gimel Lugim Mayim She'uvim. And therefore when that goes into the mikvah, that's going to pass to the mikvah. So this is now the Braisa as presented by Rava. And so now what we have over here is a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, Hakol holech achar hamara. We always follow the appearance. According to the Tanakhama, we do not follow the appearance. And ad kan, and that brings us now to the point that the Gemara made earlier. Rav says that everything follows Mara, everything follows appearance. And that means that according to Rav, when I have Gimel Mayim Lugim She'uvim, I have three Lugim of water that was drawn from a kli, and I throw in a couple of drops of wine to discolor it, it's now wine, and therefore it's going to passel, it will, sorry, not passel the mikvah. By la rapapa, sorry, I skipped a couple words. Hakol echachar mara. Hami by la rapapa. So the Gemara says that, but you know, when rapapa learned up this braisa, so rapapa did not learn the braisa as clearly as Rava did. Because the Bible, Papa, Rav Tinichas Akorta Bereisha, Aval Shosha Lugim Latanakama Pasle. So is it that when Rav taught the first case of the Braisa, there are two cases in the Braisa, the wine case and the milk case. Now, they're, by the way, they're effectively the same. It's the same case. And Rashi, by the way, on the top of the Amma deals with the question of why didn't the Braisa just kind of like pull everything together in one bava, in one case. Rashi addresses that. But anyway, there are two cases in the Braisa. One having to do with wine and the other one having to do with milk, but it's basically the same case. So when we had case number one, was it the pshat that it was not Gimel Mayim She'uvim, but it was Gimel Mayim She'uvim Chaser Kortov, and the wine came into supplement, and like we learned it, like I presented it to begin with, meaning that there are two factors involved. It's not Gimel Mayim She'uvim, and the wine discolored it. So when there are two factors involved, then it doesn't upset the mikvah, it doesn't pass the mikvah. Ava Shoshalugim Latanakama Pasle, but if it were shlosha lugim according to the Tanakhama, it would pasul, meaning the way like we presented it. The asa Rav Yochanan Meimar Kolhalech Achar Mara, and there Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri says that everything follows Mara, everything follows appearance, again, like we presented it. V'Rav Omer K'Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, and then when Rav is holding his shita, he's holding like Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. That's all one possibility, according to Rav Papa. Dilmar, maybe no. Rav Lo Tani Achaser Korta Bereisha. In the beginning of the Braisa, when talking about the case of the wine, it was not Chaser Kortav. It was Gimel Lugim Amayim She'uvim. And then after that, I throw in a couple of drops of wine in order to discolor it. Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, Ki Palag HaSeifu DePalag. Now Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, who's arguing, not arguing on that case, but rather arguing on the second case. Rav Da'amar Kedivrei HaKol. And then Rav would be holding like everybody, meaning that everyone would be in agreement that when I add enough wine to discolor the water, even if the water was my gimel lugim mayim she'uvim, but when I add enough wine to discolor the water and now turn it into what looks like wine, vis-a-vis the halachas of mikvaos, it's not considered mayim she'uvim, and that's not just the shita of Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, but rather that's the shita of everybody, and then Rav would be saying a shita according to everyone. So this is the way Rav Papa sets up the braisa. Now, if this is correct, that's even better for Rav, because now Rav is not just limited to the shita of Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, but rather now saying it l'divrei hakol, according to everyone. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa mi bai lele Rav Pshitale. So then the Gemara says, okay, Rav Papa himself was not sure about how to learn up this Braisa, but Rava was sure. And the way that we originally presented the Braisa, Rava was confident that that's the correct way to learn the Braisa, and therefore the Shita of Yochanan Ben Nuri is not just arguing with the second case, but also arguing with the first case as well. I'm Rav Yosef lo shmin li hashmaita. So Rav Yosef says, I don't remember this sugya. Now remember, Rav Yosef went through an illness in his lifetime. In his lifetime, he got an illness that caused him both blindness and memory loss. And so therefore, often throughout Shas, you're going to see Rav Yosef talking to his Talmidim, saying, I don't remember, and the Talmidim saying, you're the one who taught this to us. So Amar le Abaye, Atamar la Nialan, V'achamar Nialan, Derav lo Tani Chaser Korta Bereisha, V'Rav Yochanan Seifa Palig, V'Rav Damar Kedivrei HaKol, and Rav Yosef's student reminds Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef's student Abaye over here, reminds Rav Yosef, you're the one who taught us this Braisa. When introducing us to this Braisa, you did not have in the beginning of the Braisa the words Chaser Kortav, which means that in the first case of the Braisa with the wine, it was a full gimel lugim of water, where then you threw in enough wine where the now it becomes discolored, right? Remember back to our titration days? Okay, anyway. Not everyone here took lab. So so you threw in enough wine to discolor it, and now this is the shita of the not only Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri but also that of the Tanakhama, and that means then that Hakol Holecha Chamara is not a machlokas Satanaim, but rather according to it's a divrei Hakol. At least that's the way Rav Yosef presented it. That's the way Abaye reminded Rav Yosef that he presented it. Rav Papa at least had a suffix that this is the way this brisa should be learned. On the other hand, Rava did not learn the braisa this way. Rava had chaser kortav both in the case of the wine and in the case of the milk, and therefore Rava felt that this machlok between Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri and the Tanakhama is going on both cases, and that means that Rava is only going like Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri and not like the Chachamim. I know I said all that really quickly, okay? But it was correct. It was good, and play back again. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Okay, one more halacha for the day in terms of mikvaos. I know we are off topic of hazama and edim zomimim. We're going to come back to it momentarily. The Gemara quotes one more halacha, and that is chavas malei amayim shenafal liyam agadol. So let's say you have the following. You take a barrel of water. Obviously, the barrel means that it's a kli, and that means that this is mayim she'uvim. And it's a full barrel. And what you do is you throw it into the yam agadol, you throw it into the ocean. And now, you don't allow enough time for that water to distribute in the water, and so what you may have, at least for some moment in time, is you may have that water being a stationary body of water within the Yam HaGadol. Obviously, the Yam HaGadol is a kosher mikvah. It's natural. It's a natural body of water, and it is a kosher mikvah. But the Mayim Shuvim that's thrown in there, what the Gemara is entertaining right now is that at least while it is stationary and an independent entity, so when you go into that area, it's not going to be a good tefillah.
Even neshika.
We'll get there. That's the right question. We'll get there. Malay mayim shenafal liyam agadol tov hasham lo alta lo tefillah. The tefillah did not help. It didn't work. Chayshin lo shosh logim shelo yu b'malkum echad. And the concern is that there's going to be three lugim that are going to be concentrated in one area, and as a result of that, you didn't tovel in the Yamagado, but you toveled in the Maim She'uvim. V'davka le'Yamagado, but then the Gemara says, but this is specific to the Yamagado. Dekai v'kaimi, because that is not a moving body of water. Aval nahara ba'alma, but if I threw the barrel of water into a river, where obviously there's a current, so then lo, so then we wouldn't have this halacha, because we assume that the moment that the barrel of water is thrown into a nahar, into a river, which has a current, so then we assume a distribution immediately. Tanya Namihacha, the Gemara quotes the Braisa as well, Chavis Malei Yayin, Shenavol Yamagado, if I have a barrel full of wine that falls into the Yamagado, HaTovashol Naosol Tefillah, so wine toveling there does not, the Tefillah didn't help you. Chayshin L'Shosh Lugim She'uvim Shalayu B'Makam Echad, we are concerned that that it might be a stationary area where you had the wine in an area, maybe you toveled not in the Yamagado but in the wine, and so therefore it's maimech. It may be concentrated to one area, and v'chenki kashal chumash enough hashem tamei. And also on top of that, let's even advance the discussion one step further. Says the Braisa, let's say I have now you toveling in the mikvah, you're not tahor, you're tamei, you have a cheskas tuma. You toveled in the ocean, but again, the ocean where you, in an area where you just dropped Maim Shuvim in that area. A barrel's full of Maim Shuvim in that area. So number one, your tefillah did not help. On top of that, if the barrel that was thrown in was wine, so what happens to the wine? The wine becomes tummy. On top of that, what happens when the wine touches Kikar Shel Truma? We know that a Kikar Shel Truma, being that it has more Kedusha, more sensitivity to becoming tummy, becoming Tameya, and the Truma now becomes Tameya as well. In other words, and as Rashi points out over here, that you didn't even touch the truma, meaning you touch the wine turns into, the wine becomes tame. The wine touches the kikar shel truma, that becomes tame as well. Okay? And my vechein, ma'u detema hacha uke gavra cheskei hacha uke truma cheskei kamash malan. And then the Gemara just simply wraps up this point by saying, look, I might have thought that we knew the truma had a cheskas tahara, and now we're going to say that's tame, and the answer is, yeah, we're going to say that's tame. Meaning because the person was metame the wine time was metame the truma, and so everything becomes tame. Okay, let's address now for a moment the issue which is outstanding, meaning it requires a discussion, requires at least attention. I'm not going to give all the answers, I'm not going to give all the solutions, but certainly it requires a discussion. Ben raised it just a moment ago. I try to quiet him, but you know he knows too much. So but he's right, and that is the following: this last halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Merav started off with a barrel of Maim Shuvim that was thrown into an ocean, and the Gemara now says the problem is that because it is not, there's no current, and for at least some time we're not assuming a distribution, so we assume that now that water is a stationary, independent body of water within the Yamagado, and therefore when you tovel in that area, for fear that you tovel the Maim Shuvim, therefore your tefillah doesn't work. And to which we just have to ask a simple question, and that is the principle of Hashaka. The principle of Hashaka teaches us the following, that if I have a kosher mikvah, and there is a communication between a kosher mikvah and a body of water that is not a kosher mikvah, the halacha is that as long as there is Hashaka, literally the Hashaka Nishika means a kiss, but over here communication means that there is a pathway of water connecting the two, and the Mishnayos and Mikvahs talk about how big that pathway of water needs to be. But over here, we're talking about an ocean. So the neshika over here, right, it's a big neshika. So in other words, then we know the halacha is that through neshika, a non-kosher body of water now becomes a kosher body of water, so that the tefillah, even in the non-kosher body of water, will serve as a good tefillah. In fact, when our mikvahs are constructed, via neshika. So over here, ask the Rishonim. Gemara does not mention this. Ask the Rishonim the simplest question in the world. So let's even assume the worst case scenario. That when you threw the barrel of water into the Yamagado, let's even say it stayed there. Okay. Now I know physics assumes a distribution. And the Gemara assumes a distribution. But let's say it even stays there. And let's say what you now jumped into was actually that particular body of water, and so what? Meaning we have the principle of Neshika. And the Yamagado is a kosher mikvah, so that means that the barrel of water that you go in now also is considered a kosher mikvah. And so what kind of discussion are we having in the Gemara right now where the Gemara says, oh, it's no good. The tefillah that you did is not a good tefillah. No, I understand that, but that, in other words, that's the base minimum that you need. Over here, I mean...
Also, there was a case here that if you add, there was water was going in, and it's not valid.
Okay, but again, the principle in the Shika is a tried and true principle throughout mikvahs. It's a basic. It's a basic principle in mikvahs, and why doesn't that help over here?
So it's...
Okay, so there are numerous approaches to this problem. It's a basic problem that needs to be addressed. So I'm going to give just but one solution, and it's based on a Rashi. Rashi over here writes, look at the Rashi. It's the last of the narrow lines of Rashi, lo asa lo tefila, where Rashi addresses the idea that if you tovel in such an area, it's not going to be a good tefila. Shemakol maim shayu bechavis omdim yachad. So again, the way we presented it. Is that the water that you threw in is still concentrated in one area? V'shema bazeh rosha v'ruba b'maim she'uvim. And maybe what happened is that your head and most of your body went into maim she'uvim. And now look at the last part of Rashi. What Rashi is doing over here, beautifully, brilliantly, is he's addressing the question. He doesn't ask the question the way I presented it, but he really is addressing the question. Rashi then writes v'zeh echad min haposlim esa truma. And then Rashi says, and you know what is happening over here? It passes the truma. What is Rashi talking about over here, passing the truma? Meaning, you didn't tovel the kosher mikvah, right? So what Rashi over here seemingly is addressing is the following. You did tovel in the kosher mikvah. Of course you toveled in the kosher mikvah. Meaning, again, through the principle of neshika, what you toveled in is water that is attached and connected to a kosher mikvah. Therefore, the tefillah is a kosher mikvah, is a kosher tefillah. Says Rashi over here, what the problem is that now, even though you told from the Kasha Mikvah, there's another consideration, and that is Yud Ches Dover, the 18 things. You remember back in the beginning of Shabbos, Beicham and Beisola were having an argument about various Gezeras enactments that were made in order to protect and preserve the sanctity of Truma and other areas within Taharas. And one of the Yud Ches Dover, where originally, by the way, Beit Shammai took one side and Beit Hillel took another side, and this is one of the areas in Halacha where the Halacha did in fact fall like Beit Shammai, and the Yud Ches Dover, Beit Hillel eventually conceded to Beit Shammai, and these 18 enactments were eventually adopted. One of them is that if you come into contact with Gimel Lugim of Maim She'uvim, you are now coming to the point where you're going to apostle Truma. Right, the Gimel Lugim Maim Shuvim are going to pass through the Truma. If your head and the majority of your body went into Gimel Lugim and Maim Shuvim. And therefore, what Rashi points out over here is as follows. Lo Asa Lo Tefillah over here does not mean that the Tahara wasn't a good Tahara. Sure, it was a good Tahara. But then, there's another consideration, which is that the majority of your head and your body went into Gimel Lugim and Maim Shuvim, and therefore, as a Gzeira Derabanan for Yud Ches Dover, you're going to now be passing Truma because of Yud Ches Dover, because of the enactments that were made. So that's what Rashi seemingly is doing over here by introducing us to this idea of, meaning he's addressing the question of, what do you mean the tefillah wasn't good? So it was good. It's just that there's another enactment that has to be taken into consideration over here. That's one way to address the problem. There are other ways to address it, but that's just one approach. It's a fair question. I don't know the answer. Okay.
Maybe I misunderstand something. When you say you assume that what we're looking will stay in one place, how does the wording say that? Hashino nishlash looking shiloye yilavu kamei. That it is not. How do you get that it's in one place? The word is
it? Mm-hmm.
Why did you say that shilo? It should be shiye the mutimetot, no?
It's no third.
Right? Okay. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Not now, but I'm saying afterwards. I'll look into it. Okay. We now are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Dalam and Aleph, and we are continuing now with the discussion of Enam Zomimim. And here now we're going to be dealing with a really simple issue, and that is what is going to be the consequences of the punishment of Enam Zomimim. Now we already know the answer, which is Asisim Lo Kasher Zomim Lasos Lachiv. Whatever they conspire to do to somebody else, that's what you're going to do to them. So So that part's easy. What is not easy, however, is they really are violating two Isurim in the Torah. One, Edom Zomimim, meaning an entire parsha in the Torah dedicated to the fact that they conspired to do something against somebody, and you do to them what they conspired on. And additionally to that, the eighth Dibra of the Aseret Dibros. Torah says, Lo sana, berechei shaker, that you are not allowed to falsely testify against your friend. So that is another issue in the Torah. And to that, me'idim anu, now we start with the Mishnah. Me'idim anu b'ishponet shechayv l'chaver masayim zuz. So we're testifying about somebody that he owes a friend of 200 zuz, v'nim su zomimim. What they did is they lied in court, they made up the story, and they were proven to be edim zomimim. Which means that a second pair of witnesses came in and said, Imanu ha'isim b'malkum ponim, they were with us at the time. Lokinu mashamim. So they're going to get malkus, and they're going to have to pay. Shlo Hashem ha'mevim l'dei malkus, mevim l'dei teshlamim. Div Reb Meir. Reb Meir says they're going to get both malkus, and they're going to have to pay. The payment is based on the pasuk of asisim lo kesher zamam. And the malkus they're going to get is because of lo sane. And lo min ha'shem, right? Shlo ha'shem ha'mevim l'dei malkus, because it's not the pasuk that brings upon the malkus, is not the same pasuk that is going to force them to pay. Meaning, two separate Isurim in the Torah. And therefore, they're going to get multiple punishments. And the Chacham say, well, that's not how punishment works. Meaning, if you're paying, you're not getting malkus. If you get one punishment, you don't get two punishments. No, wait, we'll get there. And now, what if the witnesses are testifying that so-and-so is subject to malchus? And now, once again, they're proven to be Edom Zomimim. So now, according to Rav Meir, similar conclusion. That now they're going to get two sets of malchus. One for Hazama, and the second one for Losana. And the Chachamim Omrim, in Lokin El Arbaim, the Chachamim say that they're only going to get malchus one time, not two times. Okay. Bishlama, we turn now immediately to Daf Dal Amud Beis, as the Gemara is going to be discussing our Mishnah. Bishlama le Rabbanan kidei Rish also ksiv mishum Risha achas atay mechayvo viatay mechayvo mishum shtei rishayos. I certainly understand the shita of the Chachamim of our Mishnah. How many punishments do you get for one act? You get only one punishment for an act. You don't get two punishments for an act. So the idea that we cap a person with one onesh seems to be a tried and true principle throughout Shas, throughout Kol HaTorah Kula. So I certainly understand this idea that you're only going to get one punishment. In the case of Malkus and Mammon, you get Mammon. In the case of Malkus and Malkus, you only get one set of Malkus. But Ella Rebbe Meir, my Taima. But according to Rameir, why are you getting a double punishment? In the first case and in the second case from the Mishnah, you're getting a double punishment. So the Gemara says, well, we know from Motzi Shemra, Torah describes a scenario where after a husband marries his wife, the next morning comes to court and says, so he accuses the father, what did you do? You gave me your daughter, she wasn't a basulim. And now he starts telling stories about her. And if he is lying, and what we refer to, what the Torah describes as being a motzi shemra, so for such an individual, he's given two punishments. The truth of the matter, he's given a third punishment as well. But he's given two punishments. Number one, he has to pay kenas. He has to pay 100 kesef. Number two, he's also going to get malchus. So there is a case in the Torah, perfect case study, where a person is going to get both malchus and he's going to have to pay. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? That you can get a double punishment. So the Gemara asks the question, Mala Motzi Shemra Shekin Kenas? So what are you talking about? Motzi Shemra, yes, it's true that the husband who lied about her and impugned her and maligned her, so it's true that he's going to have to pay and he's going to have to get Malkus. But that payment is not Tashlumim. That payment is a Kenas. So Savala Karebi Akiva Dam Reidim Zomimim Kenasahu. So Rameir is unfazed. Rameir says, good. We're talking about Edom Zomimim. You know what Edom Zomimim is? It's a kenas, at least according to Rabbi Kiva. And the Gemara says, Rav Meir subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Kiva. And it doesn't always work out this way, but it works out over here because Rav Meir is a Talmud, a Rabbi Kiva. Kenas is outside Kimelei Rabbanei. Now, I'll tell you, by the way, I'll mention this because it's an important point, but I don't want to delve into it. In other words, you notice the Gemara over here doesn't introduce us to Kimelei Medrabbanei. The Gemara introduces us to the pasuk of Kedei Rishaso. Meaning that there are actually two separate principles and they may behave differently in terms of why we don't give a double punishment. One is the principle of Kimlei B'Drabim Minei, and the other one is the principle of Kedei Rishaso. Right, Mishum Rishachas Atamechayv Avi Atamechayv Vishtei Rishayos. And it's just interesting that the Gemara over here files it under Kedei Rishaso and does not file it under Kimlei B'Drabim Minei. Okay, just I mention it. It's worth a mention. So, Igad Amasin La De'ula Aha. Okay, so what do we have right now? A Mishnah about a double punishment for Edom Zomimim. Rameir says we do give a double punishment. The Chachamim will say we don't. We understand the Chachamim, Kedei Rishaso. What's behind the sheet of Rav Meir, as the Gemara explains, because he subscribes to his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, that Edom Zomim is a Knas, and just like Motzi Shemra, you get Knas and you get Malkus, so to buy Edom Zomim, you're going to get Knas and you're going to get the second punishment as well. Be it Tashlumim or be it Malkus. Now, Ega Damasin La De Ula Aha. Now, some learn Ula's statement on the following. The Tanya Losa Sir Mimenu Ad Boker, Vanosa Mimenu Ad Boker, Balkas Lite Nase Acha Losa Se, Lama Shein Lokan Alav Div Rav Yehuda. After shechting your carbon in the base of Mikdash, after offering your carbon in the base of Mikdash, so if it's a Shlomim, so what do you get to do? You get to eat it. You have 2 days and the night in between. And then other carbonos you also get to eat, and some carbonos have a smaller time window in which you're allowed to eat it. In any event, after the time is up, anything left over in halacha is referred to as nosar, literally meaning leftover. But the consumption of nosar is a serious offense of the Torah. You eat nosar of a carbon, so you're subject to the kari's penalty. What happens if you leave over nosar? Are you going to get malchus? So the answer is no, you're not. But why are you not going to get malchus if you leave over nosar? Lo so sir mimenu ad boker. So you violate a law in the Torah. So there are two reasons that are offered here in this brisa. Number one, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, you know why you're not going to get malchus? Because it's a law hanitak la'aseh. Because the Torah says, and if you leave over nosar, what are you supposed to do with it? End of the pasuk. But ish tisrofu, you burn it in fire. So according to Rav Yehuda, there is a way, the Torah tells you a remedy for the situation. When the Torah tells you the remedy for the situation, it is what's called now a lav v'nitak la'aseh. Lav v'nitak la'aseh, ain lokan alav, you don't get malchus. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Lo min Hashem uzeh, la mishum davar, lav shem b'maisa. So Rabbi Kiva says, what do you mean? Leaving over no, sir, that's an inaction. That's a lav shem b'maisa. And v'chol lav shem b'maisa, ain lokan alav. And therefore, you're not going to get malchus because it's a lav shem b'maisa. Mechlal de Rav Yehuda serve a lav shem b'maisa lokan alav. Menale. So that means that why did Rav Yehuda offer that as the explanation? So presumably because Rav Yehuda disagrees with that. And now the Gemara says, no, now Rav Yehuda allows for malchus to be given on a lav shem b'maisa. Where does he get that from? Amar ula gamar kim motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra lav shem b'maisa lokan alav. I've called lav shem b'maisa lokan alav. So now we're plugging in Ula's explanation over here. How do I know that you're going to get malchus for a lav shem b'maisa? Answer, motzi shemra. Motzi shemra. Because what happens? You're talking about her. Now, in halacha, speech is not considered a maisa. So you're talking about her and you're getting malchus for that. So that shows you that for speech you're going to be receiving malchus. Ma, a motzi shemra, I'm only putting you on hold. I'm not ignoring. Ma, la motzi shemra, shekein loke umishalem. So the Gemara says, I don't understand it. The motzi shemra, so there's a chumra in motzi shemra. Not only do you get malchus, but you get malchus and you pay. So that tells you that motzi shemra is an unprecedented case. So if it's unprecedented, you know what that means. It can't set a precedent. So, thank you. So Ella, so Amar Ish Lakish, Gamar Meidim Zomimim. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to learn from Edom Zomimim. Okay, I took out the whole bun. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to learn it out from Edom Zomimim. My Edom Zomimim lav shem b'maisa, lokin alav av kol, lav shem b'maisa, lokin alav. So the Gemara says, so Edom Zomimim, so it's a lav shem b'maisa, and you're going to get malchus for Edom Zomimim. So the Gemara says, mala Edom Zomimim, shekinin tzrichim asra. So the Gemara says, Edom Zomimim, you can't use that as a precedent. Edom Zomimim is also unprecedented. You know, do you know where the warning is for Edom Zomimim? Exactly. There is no warning. You don't warn the Edom, you know, with the, you don't give Asra for the Edom Zomimim. Now, why don't you give Asra for the Edom Zomimim? Okay, the Gemara in Ksuvos and Daf Lamed Gimel addresses that question. Rashi over here reminds us of the Gemara in Ksuvos. See the Gemara in Ksuvos for why there's no warning by Edom Zomimim. It's technical, but for our purposes right now, all we need to know is there's no asur for Edom Zomimim. So the Gemara says, Motzi Shemra Yochich V'Chazer Adin. So the Gemara says, okay, So, Motzi Shemra is unprecedented. Einim Zomimim is unprecedented. But you know what we can do? We can do a combo package. And we're going to now learn the Binyan Av through the Einim Zomimim and Motzi Shemra. And the Gemara says, as it classically does in such a scenario, Lori Zekri Zev, Lori Zekri Zev, Tzad HaShav HaShabahem, Lav Shem B'Maisa, V'Lokin Alav, Av Kol, Lav Shem B'Maisa, Lokin Alav. So the Gemara says, okay, so by the common denominator between the two, yes, they're both unprecedented. But you know what happens? In both cases, it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa, and you're going to get Malkus. And so now we can use it to set the precedent for every Lav Shem B'Maisa, you're going to get Malkus. Ma'alat Tzad HaShav HaShabahem, Shekein Kenas. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Tzad HaShav Motzi Shemra is a Kenas. According to Rabbi Akiva, Einim Zomimim is a Kenas. You can't set a precedent from something where they're both a Kenas, and now you want to set a precedent for every other case. That's a non-Kenas scenario. Rabbi Yehuda lo sav lo k'Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says over here, this is not Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Yehuda. And we can make the argument, the Gemara is making the argument that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva. Einim Zomimim is not a Kenas, and so therefore what we have now is a good Binyan Av, Mishnei Ksuvim, from these two Pesukim. When the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda without giving him a title, it's Rabbi Yehuda, usually Rabbi Yehuda Eli, a contemporary Rabbi Meir. So, Ela Mala Tzad HaShav HaShabem Shekein Yesh Bem Tzad Chamer. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they both have stringencies. Rav Yehuda tzad chamer lo parach. So Rav Yehuda says, okay, they have stringencies, and so what? Meaning, if there is something concrete and definitive that they both share in common, that could serve as a pircha. But just chumra ba'alma, they both have stringencies, okay, they both have stringencies, that's nice. But that's not enough to create a pircha, according to Rav Yehuda. V'rabbanan hai losana b'recha yishakam hai darshibe. Now, according to the Chachamim, what did they do with losana? Because it's not necessary, it's not speaking in relationship to Einim Zomimim, so what do they do with it? So the Gemara says, no, it is, I'm sorry, they're not using it for Malkus, so what do they do with it? So the Gemara says, Homi Bai Lila Zara Einim Zomimim. So according to the Chachamim, Losane is serving as the warning in the Torah for Einim Zomimim. V'Rabbi Meir, Zara Einim Zomimim Manale, where does Rabbi Meir learn out his Azara? So Amrav Yomi Anafkalei Meva Hanisharim Yishmu V'Yirau. So he learns it out from the pasuk of Hanisharim Yishmu V'Yirau. That's actually in the parsha of Einim Zomimim. V'Lo Yosifu Od. So V'Rabbanan Naomi Baile Lachrasa. Now according to the Chachamim, true, the Torah talks about Yirau that everyone's going to be afraid. But do you know what the Torah is telling us over there? Where it says everyone's going to be afraid. Everyone's going to be afraid because of the halacha of Achrasa. That when you have Edom Zomimim, we're going to be punished. Ehachraza, a pronouncement has to go out, a proclamation needs to be sent out. Everybody say, see what happens when you go to court and you conspire and you falsely lie. And the Torah says, use this as a model lesson for everybody else. And that's what the Chachamim do with the pasuk. Rabbi Meir, Hachraza, mi vishamu v'yirau nafka. Now Rabbi Meir agrees to the halacha of Hachraza, but he has now two words in the pasuk. One speaking to the halacha of achraza, and the other serving as the azhara for Einim Zomimim. The Torah says, Yishmu uvi yirau. Yishmu could be serving as the achraza. Yirau could be the azhara for the Einim Zomimim. So that's what the Rav Meir will say that. The Gemara ends the ping-pong discussion of what then will the Chachamim do with both of those words. And, you know, these kinds of discussions can go on in kind of almost like an endless loop. But the Gemara puts an end to it here. Okay, quickly recapping today. We finished off today the various halachas Rav Yehuda, opening up a shirt in order to make a Pesach on Shabbos. Two halachas regarding mikvaos, a quart of yayin falling into gimelugim mayim, discoloring it. Does that now turn it into wine vis-a-vis the halacha of mayim she'uvim? So Rav says it's wine, doesn't passel the mikvah. The could be that it's subject to a machlokas amarayim, whether it's subject to a machlokas. The final halacha that we did today of Rav Yehuda Merav was throwing the barrel of Maim Shuvim into the ocean and then tovling in that area. That tefillah does not work. Why doesn't that tefillah work? Why doesn't the shaka work? We discussed that today. And then we went on to discuss the punishments for the Edom Zomimim. According to Rav Meir, a double punishment for the Edom Zomimim, Lokin and Mashalmim, Lokin V'Lokin, because according to Rav Meir, they're actually two Isurim, one of Edom Zomimim, the other of Losana. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, so Kedei Rishasa, you only give one punishment, not two. And on top of that, also Losane is a Lav Shem B'Maisa, and therefore you're not going to get Malkus. So, and we finish off the discussion today of Los Asir Mimenu Ad Boker. You're not getting Malkus, either because it's a Lav Anitak Lase, or because it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa, And then the Gemara goes on to discuss that there are Tanaim who hold that for a lav shein b'maisa, you do get Malkus, notably Rabbi Yehuda, and where does he learn that from? And that was the end of today's daf.